Coming up next, Visis. Why the high-tech football helmet maker has just gone bust. Is that right? Bust? Did they actually go bust? They've laid off their entire team. They might come back. Why the high-tech football helmet maker has fallen on hard times.
How about why the high-tech football helmet maker has taken a hit that it may never recover from?
Whoa. This is going to be the perfect intro. Hi, welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
This is going to be the best podcast ever. We should tell
people. We're still staying afloat here in rainy Seattle.
So it's after 5 on Friday afternoon, and the reason we're recording the podcast so late is that I've spent the day bailing water out of my basement.
This is unprecedented. It really is. I have lived in Seattle 25 years. I don't remember a stretch of rainfall this persistent and this hard for this long.
I just bought a sump pump for the first time. Yeah. So that's why I was late, by the way. Okay, right. Hey, let's get into this.
Yes.
All right. We are going to be talking about Car2Go exiting Seattle and leaving the city without any free-floating car sharing services. We're also going to be talking about Visis, the once high-flying high-tech helmet maker that has really hit on hard times and essentially laid off its entire staff. And coming up later, John, you're going to like this. It's the answer to
I thought we had a new tech tune.
No, it's the answer.
Answer. You can maybe stump me.
Okay, because you did not obviously listen to the end last week.
Yeah.
And even if you did, you might not have known.
I would probably
forget,
yes.
So we'll have the answer and name the winner to the Name That Tech Tune Challenge, just like old times.
I love that Name That Tech Tune is back in action on the GeekWire podcast.
All right, Car2Go. Let's explain what happened first, because it's confusing. Free floating car sharing services. These are the ones where you get in, you drive, you park where you can, and you leave, as opposed to Zipcar or something like that back in the day, where you had to take it to a predetermined place.
Yeah, and different from Uber and Lyft, where you're hailing a person who's driving you around. In this instance, you're driving yourself around the city and just leaving the car wherever you want.
Right. Municipal transportation wonks would distinguish between ride hailing, which is Uber and Lyft, and car sharing, which is Car2Go, ReachNow, Lime Pod, where you get in behind the wheel and you drive.
Yeah, I love this service, but we'll get there later.
Exactly. Okay, so Car2Go was the original in Seattle.
Yeah, they had the little minis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really liked those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Same here.
They didn't feel safe to me.
But they've since upgraded to Mercedes-Benz, and then you had these other entrants, including ReachNow, which was from BMW, and then Lime Pod, which was from Lime. Now, over the last 6-9 months, one by one, these free-floating car sharing programs have been disappearing. And we got the news this week, Car2Go, the original, the OG of car sharing services, is gone. It's going to go. As of February, it's going to be gone.
It just speaks to the lack of, I guess, a market and an ability to build a profitable business here. Because you would think if all of your competitors have disappeared in a market and then you own the market solely, you would be able to build a business, correct?
Absolutely. You would think. They cited two different reasons, and they called them two extremely complicated realities. First, the volatile state of the global mobility landscape. By the way, they're not just leaving Seattle. They're leaving North America entirely. They're done. They're out of here. So that was number one, the volatile state of the global mobility landscape and the difficulty navigating complicated infrastructure challenges unique to North American transportation.
What did that mean? I saw that.
They couldn't make any money. I think you're right.
Okay.
I think
that would be a unique challenge for a business if you can't make any money. You know, the other part of that, though, and Steve Banfield, the former CEO of ReachNow, who was quoted in our story on GeekWire about this, did mention the fact that Uber and Lyft are driving prices so low that it makes it harder to have these car sharing services in existence. And that might be at play. I mean, you've got this massive battle between Uber and Lyft, and you got to wonder at some point, do the economics catch up to them that they can't even make it work? I mean, you could imagine in 5 years, whatever the time frame is, that one of these giant ride sharing services like an Uber or Lyft actually disappears.
You know what I tend to think of it as? Satellite radio. It'd be very similar to Sirius and XM, which are now one company. I could see that happening if regulators would allow it.
Yeah, why not?
If you look at the finances of Uber and Lyft, I mean, certainly.
Not strong, profitable businesses.
Yeah. So you have a unique take on this because you use these services.
Extremely disappointed because we moved to a one-car family about 2.5 years ago, which we've loved and has been great. I walk a lot now. I use Uber and Lyft a lot more. And I used Car2Go and ReachNow primarily and a little bit of LimePod when it was kind of the only one left. And yeah, it was a great substitute. A good example, you know, I bring my dog Hugo into the office. And I don't know if you're technically we're allowed to do this or not, but now all these companies are out of business here. So who cares by disclosing this, right? But, you know, if you've got your dog with you, you're not really hailing an Uber or Lyft to get home for the night. And on a night like this in Seattle, when it's pouring buckets and I've got my dog here and I don't really want to walk home.
Is he
and
here?
I can't get him on the city bus. He's not here.
Oh, okay.
But if he were here, can't get him on the city bus, can't get in a Uber or Lyft, a LimePod, you know, a few blocks away, throw the dog in and buzz him home.
Absolutely. I agree. It 100% was nice. I would use the ReachNow cars, the BMWs. I loved them. From the airport, because, you know, you get back from a long trip. I don't know, something psychologically about it. If I feel like I'm getting into a Lyft or an Uber at the airport, I'm still kind of on the trip being driven by somebody. But if I can get into a car of my own or a car that I'm driving, it just feels better.
And it was a cheaper. BMW and it was cheap. Yeah. And the thing that was nice about it, too, with my son, he'd get in the back of a BMW and drive around. I was like, yeah, this is my car. You know, I was like, yeah, I'm rolling now.
Did I ever tell you what I did with my daughter? So we went to a Mariners game, she and I did, and this was when ReachNow and some of this stuff was still relatively new. Car2Go had obviously been around, but I said to her, hey, see that car over there? And I said, let's drive that one. And she just started freaking out. I think she was maybe 5 or 6 at the time. So it can be fun. At any rate,
ReachNow service was not great. They had a lot of problems with their integration and how the mobile app worked. I always ran into bugs and problems with it. Even with that, I used it a lot. You know, I mean, though they had not solved all these technical problems, which were somewhat frustrating, I almost had to shut my phone down and reboot in order to like log in to ReachNow at times. Now, LimePod was a little bit better, in part because they didn't have the app integration. Well, you unlock the car with your phone, but then the key was a traditional key to turn on the vehicle versus ReachNow where you input numbers and it was more automated. But even with all those problems that I encountered, I use these services a lot. And so we've had a lot of people in our story talking about how they've come to rely on these different types of modes of transportation to get around. And believe me, you're not taking a spin or a Lime bike tonight in Seattle. Are you, Todd?
Well, no, you're definitely not taking
I can't get over this weather. I know I keep bringing it up, but I cannot get over the weather. It's
so
nuts.
Your references were out of date there because there's no spin anymore. That was the yellow.
Out?
Spin
out? Oh, spin was the yellow one. What's the red one?
No. Spin, let's get this
spin
right.
Spin was OFO.
Wasn't it? Okay.
I am so confused now.
This speaks to the fact that there have been a lot of things tested here that are now gone. Okay, let's get this right. Spin was the orange bikes.
Okay.
Those are gone. OFO was the
yellow
bikes.
Yes.
Those are gone.
Gone.
Lime is the green bikes.
Correct.
Those are still here.
What are the red ones? They're
jump
the Uber.
Bikes. Those are the jump bikes. But that is owned by Uber.
Right.
So,
correct.
Okay.
Okay. You're not getting on a jump or a Lime bike tonight.
So what are you going to do? Not tonight, but in general.
Yeah. I don't know. I might be forced to buy another car.
You're kidding me.
At some point.
No. Can you go back and buy a used...
I'm going to get a used LimePod.
That's
what I'm going
to do. Well, what were those? Those are Fiats, if I'm not mistaken. That you don't want a Fiat.
Yeah.
I think you should go back and get a used 1994 Honda Civic.
No, Honda Accord, 92.
92.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody out there who has taken better care of their car than you did of yours.
That's true. Well, anyway, I think it is a drag that they are disappearing and speaks to some of these new models in terms of just getting the economics and the business model right. And sometimes it just does not happen.
And the last thing I want to say is it's the blessing and the curse of being a test market for these kinds of services. You get to try these new things and yet they are, in the end, experiments, and they may or may not work. And it probably is a good lesson to remember that when these things appear, they might also disappear.
So I'll put you on the spot.
Yes.
2020, which service that's currently being trialed or is fairly new or being tested here in Seattle or more broadly, do you think will be on the downward cycle? Or out of business, or that'll just pull the plug, the economics of it won't work, or there's no one that really wants to try it anymore or use it?
I would not be surprised, number one, if Lime did go away and we were just done with this entire thing altogether.
Like the scooters, the bikes, everything.
Yes.
Wow.
Amazon Fresh Pickup.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, I just...
Now,
yeah.
I will say...
Have you ever used it?
Oh, my God. I use it almost every week.
Really? Then why would you say it might go away? Because no one else is there.
No, other people are using it. The reason is that there are only two in the world. One is in Ballard in Seattle, and the other is in SoDo in Seattle. And basically, Whole Foods are turning into these things. And so it's like, well, if you've got Whole Foods, why do you need these?
This other infrastructure.
Yeah. And they predated Whole Foods, the acquisition by Amazon.
Yeah.
So they're kind of one-off, two-off anomalies.
I agree. That was going to be mine.
Yeah.
So
I will say I love it because you can drop off package returns.
Yeah.
You can, there's a whole infrastructure. Like Amazon's kind of got the neighborhood hub thing going with some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely agree. Yeah. So we'll see if that happens.
Okay.
That's our prediction for 2020.
It's a good one. All right. Coming up next, Visis. Why the high-tech football helmet maker has fallen on hard times.
Technology moves fast. I need to move faster. WGU's competency-based education puts me in control of how fast I move through my IT degree program. I can accelerate my program by applying what I already know to my courses and focusing on the things I need to learn. Earn a respected accredited degree that propels your career in the IT field. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. We're rounding up some of the top stories of the week on GeekWire this week. Visis, John.
This is a fascinating story. I am very intrigued on how this all plays out.
Every once in a while, there are some defining disasters on the startup beat.
You know, I was just having this conversation with Taylor Soper. You weren't in the office yet. You were still getting your sump pump set up and pumping water out of Ballard. But I was just having this conversation. I was like, there is something here on this story with Visis that reminds me. And now I'm going to date myself and go into the history books of GeekWire startup lore.
Don't tell me. Intellium. That
was one of them.
Count me in. Okay.
There are these stories that were like extremely high-profile startups with very charismatic leaders with a lot of energy and excitement around them and flamed out in a crazy manner. And I think my gut is telling me – this is my journalistic gut is telling me Visis seems to be on this path.
Okay. I have a bigger picture question related to that, but I'm going to save it until the end.
Okay.
Visis.
And let me step back for a second. In some of those instances I mentioned, there was actually fraudulent activity going on. I'm not suggesting here that there's anything illegal going on. That's not my implication. I'm just saying this is a big, spectacular blow up and there's a lot of nuances and pieces to this puzzle that I think we still need to figure out.
Visis makes high-tech football helmets that use a novel technique to cushion the blow of very hard football hits. This gets to the pervasive problem of head injuries in the NFL, but also in high school sports, not only in football, but potentially soccer when you think about it.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
But their big marquee products were used by NFL players and are used by NFL players. And this was a spin out from the University of Washington. It raised more than $85 million from, get this, more than 400 investors. And that to me is one of the defining facts of this story.
Agreed.
They are out of money. They have furloughed and now laid off their entire staff. As of Friday afternoon, that's the update.
They had their CEO step down about a month or so ago. an interim CEO has came in and I think has since left.
Yes.
I presume there's somebody still hanging around to make sure the assets are managed, you would think.
Well, the board is still there.
Yeah.
With the latest news as of Friday afternoon, it sounds like essentially the entire company is no longer working for the company, including the person who had been there as the latest interim CEO. So this is a big decline. The big question now is whether this company can somehow be sold to an outside investment group. There's some drama going on behind the scenes. But this to me is one of those stories that we're going to be tracking for a while. To me, the reason that the more than 400 investors is a defining factor of this story is that you didn't have the typical accountability that you would if you had a major, prominent, large-scale investor keeping an eye on everything. You sort of had a bunch of money coming in from a bunch of different places, none of it necessarily material enough to each of those investors to really be watching the company as closely as a big-time investor would.
I agree. And it's unusual to see a startup have a cap table with 400 investors on it. It's just an unusual way to raise money. And I agree with you, Todd. I think that was a defining moment. And I always remember when I would see that and they would have these multiple fundraising rounds and it was like this constant fundraising roller coaster they were on. It just seemed strange. And now I think you're starting to see that obviously it wasn't working out behind the scenes.
And these were not garden variety investors.
No, that's right.
Doug Baldwin, the former Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, Russell Wilson, the current Seahawks quarterback, Roger Staubach,
Hall of Famer Jerry Rice, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, yeah, it's like it's a high profile company and in a high profile segment that's getting a lot of attention these days. I mean, the New York Times has been doing a great series about football in America. And just on this past Sunday, it had a real in-depth story about concussions in football and the advances in helmet technology. Now, Todd, I read that story very closely. I was interested in it. And I'm sitting here on Sunday reading through the New York Times. I got to say, again, journalistic flag went off. I was like, why in the world haven't they mentioned vices in this story?
You know, we got to talk more because yeah. I had the exact same reaction.
I was like, this is a weird, like vices is one of the most high profile companies in this entire space.
So you know that I had Taylor looking into this based on that very observation just made.
Yes.
He was making inquiries, looking around.
And then we got a tip, right?
Right. Right. So this has been bubbling for a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that's out there is whether the CEO, the former CEO, Dave Marver, was transparent enough with the investors. Taylor Soper, our managing editor, who we've been talking about here, has been reporting this story. He got his hands on an internal company webinar where Doug Baldwin and other investors expressed frustration that they felt they did not have full visibility into the finances in a timely enough manner to do something about it that would have avoided the situation that they're in now.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin says on the call, obviously, all of us are pissed to be in this situation. I think all of us would have put in more work and more due diligence to make sure that we weren't in this predicament as we are standing right now.
Right.
And so that is a common theme that you've heard. I hear that, but this again, if you have 400 investors, that's a lot. That's a lot of investors to manage and communicate with and keep updated, and it's just too many for a startup to be focused on your company and building a product and selling that product, and then you've got an investor base of 400 folks. It's an unusual circumstance.
So Taylor, based on his reporting, cites four different issues that they ran into. One was the transparency that we're talking about here, and the question of whether there was enough information disclosed in a timely enough manner. Another was the market. Vices is competing against big companies like Riddell and other helmet makers that are basically dominating that market.
Yeah, and to expand on that a little bit more, and some of what the New York Times had reported in that in-depth Sunday piece was that this actually might be an impossible problem to solve. That no matter what technology you put into building a helmet, just given the dynamics of football, you cannot solve the problem they're trying to solve. And so that's a pretty interesting part. And then you think about it in terms of if they are truly focused on football, that is a fairly small market. Now, I know they had a deal, Visus had a deal with the government to build helmets for the military. And so you could see that they could potentially diversify. But if the main thought and premise is that you can't actually solve this problem with any type of helmet if you're taking this sort of repeated trauma to your head, which is the issue, then you're never going to be able to solve that issue. It's an interesting debate as it relates to football and if this actually can be solved through a technological means.
The other issue related to that that some of the experts raise is if somebody feels like their helmet's going to protect them from anything, they will tend to act more recklessly on the field.
That's true. That's true. I mean, some people have argued the best thing to do in football is to get them out of their pads. I mean,
turn it into a wrestling competition.
Well, that's more like rugby, and people. I mean, there are certainly concussions in rugby. I don't know the incident rate of rugby concussions versus American football concussions. Be interesting to see.
The best analogy that I heard in terms of how the technology works in the 0-1 helmet from Visus is that it deforms and basically acts almost like a car bumper when there's an impact and absorbs the shock. Bottom line, this story is still very much playing out, even though the company has effectively laid off its entire staff. There is the question of what happens to the technology, whether a new buyer can come in.
And it's a sad story too. I mean, sorry to interrupt, Todd.
But
I mean, when you think about it, it was a very promising, high-profile company here in the Seattle area. You did have 400 investors in. And what Seattle doesn't need is people who are angel investors that get into a high-profile venture like this getting burned or feel like they're getting burned or losing all their money and then not investing again. Because that has happened here in Seattle in the past where during the dot-com bust era that there were a lot of people that jumped into the angel investing market, lost a bunch of money, and then never returned. And I just worry that that's not what we need in Seattle. We need more angel investors that are able to put this risk capital into the market and support companies. And it's also just a sad story too in relation to the people being laid off at this time of year.
Right.
The fact that they have a novel, interesting technology. You can debate whether it works or not, but it's not like this was this is a product that at least to some degree, I mean, you have Russell Wilson wearing it on Sundays. I mean, it's a high quality product if it's going to be on Russell Wilson's head during a Sunday football game. And so, engineering talent that's come out of the University of Washington. So it's not like it's a bad product. So this is a tough one. And certainly there were perhaps some warning signs, but wow. Interesting to see this one develop here in the last week.
John, the big picture question that I wanted to ask you was when you talk about companies like Intellium and Count Me In, and again, I know you're making a distinction in some aspects between those stories and this story, but it does feel like a big downfall in the same way that those companies were.
Yes.
I associate those with an economic downturn. Am I wrong?
Well, I think you could maybe make the analogy that capital is getting a little bit more stringent and what they're looking at and that people aren't writing checks willy-nilly.
Because that was ultimately one of the four things that we're citing in this story that caused this issue was they struggled to find additional venture capital beyond what they raised. Do you hear the rain is coming down even more?
Yeah, we don't have Kenmore Air flying over today. We just have raindrops pelting us.
Is that a metaphor for what we're talking about? The storm, winter is coming.
The storm is here. I can't get over this rain.
All right. We will be right back with our final segment, the answer to our Name That Tech Tune Challenge.
This is GeekWire's Name That Tech Tune Challenge, your chance to win a spectacular prize from GeekWire. From the GeekWire studios in Seattle, here's your host, GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
Hey, welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. This is where we play a song for you, a tune or a ditty, a
piece of audio content from the tech industry,
a jingle,
a famous line or saying from a technology keynote.
Exactly. So this is not from a keynote, but it is from a device. So this was last week's tune. So let's play it now. Any idea, John? This totally stumped Monica last week.
I thought you were maybe playing off something with Star Wars, which is coming out.
No, that would have been good too.
Yeah, which it starts that way. Can I go one
more time? Yes.
That is a weird one because it starts with the Star Wars style, and then it goes into this muffled noise, and then it kind of ends like a tech product. And there's water themed in there.
You hear water?
I hear water running. So,
water, really? I don't hear water.
Yeah. Can you give me a hint?
It's in the gaming realm.
Oh, God. Modern gaming or?
Well, it depends on your definition of modern.
Minecraft.
No, you're in the right company. Now, although not at the time.
So it's Microsoft oriented.
Yeah.
And it is.
Before the Minecraft acquisition.
Before Minecraft. So it would. Halo?
Guys, you're getting close. You're getting close.
Call of Duty?
It's not game specific. It's more platform specific.
Oh, Xbox?
It was the original Xbox boot up sound. And the reason. I did that one.
That's weird. Yeah, wow, that's really strange.
No, it's exactly what it was. It was not strange. It was the Xbox. So the reason I did that was because the news just last week was that Microsoft came out with they unveiled and announced their new Xbox Project X, the next generation of the Xbox console. I was just surprised that there's still going to be a console. I mean, at this point, Microsoft has separated its games and its apps and its services so much from dedicated hardware that I envisioned Microsoft going almost kind of virtual and just offering Xbox Live across, I don't know if Nintendo would do it. There have been rumors about
Comcast Xfinity.
Exactly. You don't need the hardware, but they are really doubling down. They're making it clear that they want to have the full console experience. They believe that even with cloud gaming and subscriptions, that you're going to want a really beefy piece of hardware that you run the game from. And
well, they do want to be – it is their place to be in the living room or the family room when they're competing against an Amazon in that regard. So Amazon's getting all sorts of hardware into people's homes.
Absolutely.
So this is one place that – I would think Microsoft wants to make sure that they have at least some piece of hardware there.
Yeah, but an expensive, generally $500 or more when it launches piece of hardware versus a very lightweight, powerful Fire TV stick. This is very high end. At any rate, that is what Microsoft's doing. And
now,
that,
when is it going to be released?
Sometime next year, 2020. They announced it, and the device itself looks a little bit like a PC tower, which is kind of full circle as well.
They're going old school.
They are. Hey, before we end, I do want to ask you for your advice on holiday gifts.
Because I am the expert on this.
You are in this specific way.
Okay.
Last year, what did you get your brother for Christmas? I know what you got him.
Which brother?
Dave.
Can
I say Dave?
Yeah. I don't know. It was probably something Sounders related.
Nope. I can't believe I'm quizzing you.
I got him tickets to the GeekWire Gala.
No? You're on the realm. I can't believe
I'm sure it was some sort of experience or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm big on the experiences. I'm big on that, but I can't remember what it was. What was it?
You got him a pass or a ticket to Dean Baquet and Marty Baron was supposed to be there. Marty Baron wasn't able to make it, but Dean Baquet and Tim Egan ended up doing it.
Right.
Was it Tim Egan?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Anyway, we all ended up going. I love this idea of looking at the upcoming schedule for different venues around town. And my wife is very big on this year. She's just totally gotten into the kick of environmentally friendly, going with experiences, not things that are going to require packaging.
Yes.
And so I know you were early on this trend. What should I get her?
Well, I think it is smart to look ahead at the upcoming concert schedule, venue schedule, and then pick something. And you want to really surprise her. You just don't look in Seattle. You look at Vancouver, you look at Portland, you look at San Francisco.
And you plan a trip around it.
Yes.
And then if it's like a artist or something, like if it's a, you know, you're going to laugh at me, but one that I have been looking at is Blake Shelton in like Spokane.
Well, that'd be amazing. Now, I just...
Was that sarcastic?
No, I mean, that would be fun. Yeah. Now, my wife just celebrated a big birthday and I did this because I had nothing scheduled. So what I did was I did a little staycation in Seattle, but then I looked around. I was like, what else is going on this weekend that we're doing? And the production Stomp, which is a pretty high energy, fun dance troupe, was performing nearby at the Moor. So got tickets to that and had a wonderful evening out.
Did we figure out afterward that we were unknowingly at the same performance of Stomp, or did you go at a different time?
I went at a different time. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So, we went to Sirius Pie beforehand. Great place. Have you been there?
I have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that is my advice. Look at the calendar, pick something out, make it extra special.
And the nice thing
you
is
you can't lose on this. Yes.
You don't have to worry about last minute shipping. You can just be a procrastinator.
You can write it onto write a little card out, just put it on the tree, make her think that, oh, you didn't really get her anything. And then last thing you say, oh, what's this on the tree? There's something left here.
It's got to be pretty spectacular though, if you're going to take that tactic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, have a great holiday week.
Same to you.
And everybody out there, thanks for listening all this.
Wait, Todd.
Yes.
You didn't say who won the Tech Tune.
Oh, yes. You're right.
After all of this banter,
congratulations.
We didn't even say who won the Tech Tune. What did they win? Like, it's the holiday. They're like waiting massive
prize. Do we have any GeekWire? I was going to give him a shirt.
Yeah. That's...
But do we have any GeekWire water
Yetis
bottles?
Or water bottles left? I believe we do.
Okay. So
a water bottle.
Our winner, congratulations, picked from the pool of correct answers, Josiah Lenowitz. He says it was the original Xbox startup sound related to the announcement of the next generation Xbox. So not only
nailed
did he
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Nailed
it. So congratulations to Josiah, and you will be getting the choice of a T-shirt or a wonderful Yeti
other
mug,
piece of swag. Or,
yes, exactly. All right, happy holidays, everybody out there, and we will talk to you soon. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop,
and I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening to GeekWire.